the census is done every 10 years, and it's just a very important indicator of the health of a community because it looks at the growth in the community. We had a tremendous response from the citizens of Cedar Rapids, so I would just like to acknowledge that. In fact, the Midwest region, which Cedar Rapids is a very, very large part of, got the highest response rate in the country to being counted in the census. So thank you to our citizens that participated. Cedar Rapids showed a growth rate of close to 10%, and that was 11,384 new citizens of Cedar Rapids. So we were very, very pleased with that. You know, we see there are certainly communities that are growing faster. For instance, in the Des Moines metropolitan area, the suburbs have had very, very fast growth. But for a community like Cedar Rapids, a core community, an older community, to grow close to 10%, I think is extremely positive and shows the overall health of Cedar Rapids. The last thing people ask me about, you know, what does that number look like compared to others? And I would just say that we added more citizens to the city of Cedar Rapids than the city of Des Moines added to Des Moines. So again, we added around 11,384 citizens, and Des Moines was at 10,700 citizens. And Des Moines is double our size, so our growth was about twice the amount of growth as far as individuals as well as percentage. And, you know, we're looking forward to the next 10 years and seeing what those numbers will look like.
So, Cedar Rapids, you came here in 2010, shortly after the 2008 flood. So you've been here for two of the three major natural disasters that the city has had. It was so bad that even the National Geographic did an article about the city of Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
What's it like managing a city that's been through three huge disasters in 12 years?
It's very, very interesting. I was involved after 08 when I was city manager of West Des Moines. I was asked to lead an entity called iJobs, which was formed by the state of Iowa. And the legislature and the governor approved about $150 million of funds to distribute to flood-impacted communities. So I became very, very familiar with Cedar Rapids because we were one of the communities that had the most impact in the state from that 08 flood. So, you know, I saw that devastation, and I also saw the recovery, and it's really been, it's been fun, it's been an honor, it's been gut-wrenching to see what that 08 flood did, but also to see how strong this community is and our citizens are and how we responded to that incident and how we came back, and I think better and stronger, never forgetting the impact on so many individuals that event had. 16, we took what we experienced and learned from 08, and I think we were very, very well prepared for that situation. And we had many, many partnerships that helped us respond. We had the technology of just lots of infrastructure, lots of equipment that helped us, I guess, be in a much better position. And then the flood wasn't certainly as bad as 08, but we responded well, minimized damage to the community, and really kept things going. So I was very, very pleased. It was a difficult situation again, but worked out well. The derecho was obviously, most people have not even heard of a derecho.
No, I hadn't.
and so it was something that there wasn't, I would say, as much training for an incident that occurs without notice and causes the kind of devastation that this, you know, hurricane, in essence, in the Midwest, in the city of Cedar Rapids, caused. But we came together as a community, and I think we're on the mend. So, yeah, it's amazing that we have had that much natural disaster. and we've learned a lot from those disasters, and it makes us better and stronger, but certainly it also impacts individuals and families, and that's something that is always top of mind. Now, as you know, we're watching TV and seeing what's happening in the state of Louisiana. And so while we had some very, very tough situations, certainly we have learned from those, and we're in a far better position to respond in the future because of what we have learned.
So if residents still need help from the derecho, is there someplace they can go for resources?
Yes. You know, we have lots of information on the city's website, but the patch program, for instance, is one area. So, you know, right after the derecho occurred, we followed all protocols, and we were able to get not just assistance to the government for all the dollars that we needed to clean up the city, but also for individuals through FEMA. And that is not an easy designation to get. Right after derecho, we wrote a letter to then-President Trump. He came to Cedar Rapids. He approved personal assistance. And so, you know, that is certainly a positive. In addition to that, individuals obviously have their homeowners insurance and other kinds of protection. But we also know that insurance doesn't cover everything. And not everyone has the necessary insurance. We have learned that the FEMA personal assistance has been disappointing as far as the level of assistance that individuals have been provided. So, you know, we put a number of programs together, but I would just call on that PATCH program, and the information about PATCH is on our city website, cedar-rapids.org. That PATCH program is one that really helps fill in the gaps where personal insurance didn't help, where FEMA didn't help. This is a way to fill the gaps, and the city has been very proud and pleased to be able to participate in that PATCH program. In fact, we just put $1 million into the program about 2 weeks ago. Again, we know the job is not done. We know there's individuals still hurting, and if there's anything we can do, we're here to assist, and that PATCH program is just one example.
So the city is working with Trees Forever to kind of replant the trees that are lost. Can you tell us about that effort?
Sure. So that's, you know, Chris, I mean, I think Cedar Rapids is an absolutely beautiful community. You know, we perhaps don't have the mountains that other places, not perhaps, we don't have the mountains that others may have. We don't have the ocean. We do have a river that we're very, very proud to be associated with. But we have beautiful trees in Cedar Rapids. And we had a lot more trees in Cedar Rapids before August 10 than we do today. And we lost almost 70% of our tree canopy. I mean, that's a huge number when you think about it. We lost so many trees that 70% equates to around 700,000 trees, and that's public and private. So the impact of the derecho hit individuals, and we always think of individuals and families that are impacted first. But as far as trees are very important to not just the beauty of the community, but for the environment. And so we know we have to replant the trees, and we have to be committed to a long-term effort. So we did associate with Trees Forever. We did hire a national expert as well as a local landscape architecture firm. So the national expert is named Jeff Speck. He's written a lot of interesting articles and a number of books about community planning. He's really received international notoriety. And he and Confluence, the local landscape architecture firm, and the community are working to put a plan together for replanting. So we're already moving on some of the replanting, and there's been a lot of work done on that. We're not just sitting around and waiting, but the big plan has yet to be finished. And that's going to involve mostly public lands. So, for instance, we love our city parks in the city of Cedar Rapids. In fact, you know, we have one of the largest, if not the largest, park system in the state of Iowa. The parks, I'll give an example, Beaver Park, absolutely beautiful park, and one of the things that makes it beautiful are the trees. So we lost a lot of trees in Beaver Park, and there's just numerous other examples like that. So we're putting together 35 park plans, and we have close to 100 parks, but we're going to have a plan for each park as to the trees we're going to plant, the number, but also where they're going to be planted, and the variety of trees. And we're doing that for, as I said, 35 parks. We're taking also a good look at the right-of-ways areas. And so there's areas, and I'm referring to right now, the areas between the sidewalk and the street, the planting area, that we're so proud of the trees that have grown in those areas that we lost. And so we're looking at what kinds of varieties we need to plant in those areas as well. So we have the right kinds of trees. And, you know, that changes over time.
Okay.
Used to be ash trees were a big thing. Now we're removing all the ash trees because of the emerald ash borer. Mm-hmm. So we're very careful in the kinds of trees we're going to plant. But bottom line is we are absolutely committed to bringing this tree canopy back in Cedar Rapids and doing it the right way that will be a model for the country, because we have a unique situation. We lost 70% of our trees and our canopy in the city of Cedar Rapids. And so we have an opportunity to really take, unfortunately, what's more of a blank canvas and recreate it in the right way for the future. It's going to take a long time, but we're committed and we're together and we're going to make a difference over the long term.